Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Into the Utah zone. Oslin drops it. Roseanne back to Oslin for a shot, and that's high. Roseanne tips it in front. They score! Noah Oslin parked in front of the net. Picks up his first, and the Sabres tie the game at one.
Oh, man. The only goal that the Sabres scored this week.
Yeah. Yeah.
As depressing as that
is. I was
going
to say, I was producing this week and I went to look for Sabres highlight. I was like, oh, there are none from the last game against the Blues. So
unfortunately, no.
Came to that realization pretty quick, but what are you going to do?
Well, we were texting about this off air. So Brian Colzio and I were about breaking down every goal that the Sabres had this week. So that's the one. Brian, let's get into it about that specific goal and only that goal.
Yeah, that's the only one. That's the breakdown. Unfortunately, they've played three home games here and they've scored one goal in eight periods and two overtimes. That's the only one right there. You got to go back to... They had obviously no goals against St. Louis, one against Utah, and then the Capitals game, they won in a shootout, which, you know, I guess I'm not counting as a goal there, but that overtime, the third period, the second period, the last time the Sabres scored there was late first period against Washington. So it's been a while. They're in some scoring woes. A huge piece of it, obviously, they've got some guys out of the lineup, but they also have Tage Thompson and Alex Tuch playing. And those two guys offensively need to really, really kind of, I think, get their game going, especially with all these injuries right now at the forward position.
And that's really where the crux of it all has to go at this point, Brian, because the defense has been playing well. They've been getting better goaltending throughout consistently. People want to go ahead and leave UPL out to dry in the Blues game, and I'm not ready to do that one because of you win zero games when you don't score. There was a goal that he wanted back in that one, but still, it would have been, 1-0, 2-0, still losing the game. The offensive woes are stacked with injuries. You have Norris and Benson out. That's two-thirds of your top six, or top line, actually, heading into the season. You have Kulik out. You have Zucker out, both of them dealing with different illnesses of sorts and being placed on injured reserve. Benson was recently seen in a walking boot, yet there's reports that he might be back soon. It is to a point, though, that you mentioned it still comes down to you have two guys that are star players on this team, or at least top-end players on their team. And with Tage Thompson, it's a former 40-goal scorer consistently. Alex Tuch is looking for a new contract. And you need to see more from them when they have something to play for, really.
Yeah, I think for sure. I mean, the power play has been struggling during the stretch here as of late. I know that they've gotten points up until this last game here. They had a 7-game point streak, which I want to applaud them for. they did not do a good job of getting those games to overtime last year. They would find ways to still be down by a goal at the end of regulation. They would find ways to blow a lead or, you know, be all over a team but not be able to get that tying goal to force it to overtime. So I do want to applaud them if they had that 7-game point streak. With that being said, they also haven't been able to finish any of them when they get to overtime lately. Overall, if you just take the bulk of these games, they've only won one of their last six. So if you look at it that way, you could spin it and say, yeesh, like, you know, wonders they are tied for last right now in the standings. Yes, 14 points in 14 games, you're getting points. You're not burying yourself, but you're also not putting yourself in a position that ultimately, if you continue to play at this clip, is going to be good enough to get you a playoff spot. We know that they've got to play probably enough that gets you 6 out of every 10 points. You do that, that gets you 98. That's going to get you into the playoffs for sure. We know usually in the East, that low to mid 90 range point total wise is going to be what gets you into the postseason. Thompson and Tuck have to lead the way. I would throw Dahlin in that mix too. We know obviously now there's a whole nother side story to the Rasmus Dahlin season, but those three, if we're just looking at offensive production, offensive playmaking, it doesn't have to be necessarily even putting the puck in the net. I'm talking about probably Dahlin more so for this. It's creating plays that lead to goals. And those three, to me, have been extremely underwhelming this year for a variety of reasons, including when they've been on the man advantage for the power play. Those three are out there. They are supposed to lead the charge, and they're not. What has Buffalo's best been? It's been some other role players. Zach Benson, by the way, has been in the lineup for 4 of the 5 wins. I don't think that's by accident. I think he really, really generates a lot offensively. We know Josh Doan's been pretty good as well, helping on the offensive side of things, but your big marquee players have not been coming through overall, to me, enough in terms of goal production.
I do believe with Benson in the lineup, they're 4-1-3 with the eight games that he played. But, and that's the thing, the power play, you mentioned that one. And Lindy Ruff did say a little bit earlier in the year of like, oh, we're going to see something different about them. And I think that that different thing was they were driving it through Benson. And now with him out, it does look like last year's problems are this year's problems with the man advantage once again.
Yeah, and it's still a lot of things that my eyes are seeing that are the same as last year. A lot of perimeter passing, not much at the net, not a lot of bodies at the net. When they seem to be able to get entry in, which to me always just seems to take too long, it's the drop pass from, it feels like from the red line, like literally almost back toward the goaltender sometimes. To me, like, there has to be a better way to bring the puck up the ice with speed. I know, you know, they'll argue that, they all want to be at the blue line ready to go and charge in. I get it, but I feel like at times it's frustrating when they get it and it's just there's no speed for the Sabres coming in because they're all standing on that blue line waiting to go in. Nevertheless, beyond that, the power play has to be better. You're playing against some teams that are very, very poor on the penalty kill, and they haven't been able to take advantage of that at all. Right now, with the fact that they do have so many injuries and so little depth at the forward position, when you do have a power play opportunity and you do have Tage and Alex Tuck all out there together with a couple of these other players, you've got to take advantage of it because they're not creating enough 5-on-5 right now with the fact that they don't have 4 scoring lines. That's a spot that they can still take advantage of and feel kind of like semi-healthy when you've got that 5-on-4 right. unit out there. And that's been really disappointing for them for sure.
And you mentioned the injuries and the depleted lineup there, obviously. Zucker, Kulik, on IR. And it does look like there's a bit of a different approach going on by necessity from them. Isaac Rizé and Noah Oslin, they do, over the past few games, get their first career goals in the NHL. I think they play well together, even within Buffalo. It was, though, they tried to put them with Tage Thompson. It didn't really seem to work. But it does seem like with Thompson, not a lot of combinations are working with him in particular the last couple games.
Yeah, I think Thompson, to me, is a real mystery in the sense that we know, obviously, this guy at any point can go off. And I'm not saying that his season is going to be a disappointment in any manner. But after he had the couple of goals, the 3 goals in 2 games against the Leafs, I thought, okay, that's going to get him going. I know Paul and I last year looked at his stats. He had that 5-game scoreless streak at the beginning of the season. And then he scored 5 games in a row. And he definitely kind of is a streaky scorer like that, which probably is the case for a lot of good elite goal scorers. They're not just necessarily a guy that can just score every single night, which you can't expect him to, but he has to be a real leader out there. There are definitely nights and definitely shifts and definitely periods where I sit there and say, is Thompson an energy spark? I don't ever want to sit here and question any of these guys in terms of effort. I know that's an easy fan line for you to say, oh, they're not trying, or boy, how come it looks like they're playing lazy? Like, I'm not willing to go to that level at this moment, but there should be providing energy. Benson has done that. Doan has done that. I feel like you need your best offensive players to kind of be in takeover mode. Thompson has not really done that quite a bit this year, where he's out there saying, look, I'm going to dominate right now. And I don't know if I feel like he has a lot of confidence to do that, which is kind of surprising because he is an elite goal scorer in this league. Like, get out there, take over, dominate, make a play for yourself, make a play for your teammate, because your team needs you right now. And I just wonder, with what's happening with Dahlin and now he's off there, what's happening with the pressure of Tuck with his contract, and Thompson's maybe sitting here saying, geez, I've got one of my teammates who maybe might not even be here soon. I got another teammate who's dealing with something extremely important on the other side of the globe. You know, where do I fit in this and all this? And are we supposed to be successful? Like, the mental state of some of these players right now in terms of maybe where they're at, like, I don't know how much that is weighing on them, but Thompson probably feels like he's got to come through all the time. And I don't know if he's handling it that well.
Honestly, I've also seen more flashes as of late from Jack Quinn than I have from Tage Thompson. You mentioned like the moments to take over a game, and you're seeing a little bit more flash and pizzazz from Quinn. You're also seeing some of the uglier plays, like the breakaway goal that leads to 1-0 against St. Louis. But I've noticed Quinn has a lot more confidence in his feet, even though he's still inconsistent as a player. It does look like when he is on, he can move again.
Yeah, I agree. I think Quinn has been good for that for the most part. You going back to Roseanne and Auslan too, together, I think you're right. I think they've been good. I probably wouldn't have played him with Thompson. I know Paul had mentioned they hadn't taken even a shift in practice together, which is why he was surprised to see them start that St. Louis game together and play the first two periods together. Quinn, we know, has the talent to obviously put the puck in the net, but he's had opportunities too. I mean, he was on the doorstep a few times against Utah and couldn't get it done. The Sabres have had good opportunities like that, and then you pass up on it. These are the cute plays that you got to figure out a way to avoid. Even in the game against St. Louis the other night, Lukanen takes that tripping call with 3-something left in the game. Buffalo's shorthanded, and you're thinking, geez, it's over now here. Well, Tuck and Samuelson come down on a 2-on-1 with about 3 minutes to go, 2.5 minutes to go, and Tuck tries to feather a pass to Samuelson on a 2-on-1. Like, what are you doing? You're Alex Tuck. You have to shoot there. This is no insult at Mattias Samuelson. What are you doing passing to Samuelson on a 2-on-1 when you maybe have a clear lane to shoot the puck on a guy that's got a 5.02 goals against average? Like, it doesn't make sense to me. That, to me, again, going beyond the strategy of what are you doing, that just shows that, to me, the confidence is not there with the best players on the Sabres right now. If Alex Tuck is confident and he's coming down with Mattias Samuelson in a moment, shorthanded with 2 minutes to go in the game, and he's not ripping that right at that net to try to score, like, to me, that shows confidence-wise that they're not all there right now.
Brian, just looking at, you mentioned UPL, and, you know, confidence-wise with him, just from fan perspective and just us, I feel like looking at the goaltending situation with Lyon, with Ellis this season, right? Lyon being the hot hand right now in net. Lukanen, his first game, falling pretty flat. He then has the big bounce back against the Capitals, big overtime win there. And then, you know, the other night, Derek made a good point of, you're not really helping him by not scoring any goals or anything like that. But what do you make of his performance this season? And I don't know, I can't help but look at his contract and when they signed him. He was a hot and cold player the season before. He had one really consistent season. Are we in for another hot and cold season for him, you think? Or do you think he might be able to settle in once he gets a little more under his feet?
For Lukanen, are you talking about?
Yeah, UPL, yeah.
Yeah,
sorry.
Yeah. I mean, that goal that he gave up against St. Louis, the second one, was really bad. But you're right, in the end, Buffalo scored 0. So in terms of the reasons to blame why they didn't get that game done, like, we can't start with the goaltender when you score 0. I mean, you want to say the goal that he let in, or at least one of them, was a bad one, I'll definitely agree. But you can't start with the reason they lost was because of the goaltender when you score zero. You know, Lukanen, geez, like, I kind of go back and forth. The game against Washington, he played great in the third. He stole the overtime for them. That game, Washington was all over them in the OT, including a penalty kill that they had. And then he goes 5 for 5 in the shootout. And you're walking out of there after that game saying, okay, that's the Lukanen from two seasons ago when he had that really good stretch, when he was putting up Vezina-like numbers. And that's what got him that contract that he has right now. But we've also seen two of his three starts be where you have a goal that you're sitting there questioning. The second goal, where the Bukestad scores the other night with St. Louis. The Toronto game, the third goal that is scored that ultimately sends that game to overtime, where Tavares gets the game winner, where you'd like him to also maybe make a save on the Tavares one too. Inconsistency. And I think this is what you saw. This is we're seeing in this three-game span that he started this year. You're seeing the microcosm of what he did all of last year. We get really good games, we get questionable games, and then you get these goals here and there along the way that you're really wondering, like, man, is that does an NHL number one let that goal in? I'm not quite sure. Buffalo's definitely got the most consistent goaltending from Alex Lyon. When he's in there, I would say other than maybe one game, I've really ended each night by saying Alex Lyon gave them a chance to win. And I guess that's really all you can ask for goaltender. So, you know, ultimately at some point, I don't think they can keep three goalies all year long. But with the fact that this team seems to have the injury bug every single day, maybe they can deal with it for a while here until everyone's back and healthy.
Brian, I do want to do a quick mention here with Dahlin. Obviously, he'd been playing distracted and, you know, it has affected his game, clearly. However, now that he is going to be out taking the leave of absence, the Sabres defense has not been their problem. It has been solid. The entirety of their defensive core, it looks like, has been steady for a good part of, you know, the start of this season. Now with Dahlin out, though, my eyes turn to Owen Power, a guy who's making $8 million a year. He does a lot of the good things quietly. And now, with the contract that you have, the situation that has been supplied to you, it's time to get a little bit noisier on the player that he was drafted to be, potentially here for the Sabres.
I still think the expectations of going first overall and the fact that he's making the $8 million per year that you said, it's going to be very, very difficult to live up to that. And, you know, should you, as a number one overall pick, will you look at other first overall picks? Well, you don't even have to go to first overall picks. You look at other defensemen around the league. Like, you look at Cal Makar didn't go first overall. If Owen Power could play close to Cal Makar's ability and numbers, you'd be like, well, sign me up for another 8 years, right? Like,
right.
These are some of the things. And that's even the thing with Dahlin. You know, now, Dahlin going over to Sweden to be with his fiance, like, that seems to be the right move. I'm 100% on board with it. He clearly is not focused to where he needs to be for hockey. He's not playing his best for hockey. And you know what? We don't know everything that he's going through on a daily basis in terms of communication, lack of communication, how physically exactly his fiance is doing. So if this is what it's going to need to be in order to get him to be a better hockey player, and also to get him in the right mindset where he feels good about where he's at with his life off the ice with his fiance, then I'm totally fine with this happening and you know, would welcome it. We all have to remember, these are human beings. I know that some fans say, well, because you make millions of dollars, you suddenly are supposed to be able to deal with this better than like all of us would deal with it, which to me is an insane comment to make.
Yeah.
But I think some people just assume, well, you're a professional athlete. You make millions of dollars. You shouldn't be distracted by the fact that someone that you love is going through a physical, you know, condition here that's really, really maybe putting them, you know, in life harm's way and things like that. So to me, that's preposterous. I'm hoping that that's a very, very small minority that has that. But I know that there are some out there that should say, oh, he should be focused. He's getting paid millions to do so. Like, come on, please. You got to be able to have a little bit more realistic approach to this. This is still, you know, a job in the end. I know it's a well-paid job for a game he loves to play, but I'm totally fine with being where Dahlin is at. Obviously, you know, if you separate it and just talk hockey-wise, the sooner Rasmus Dahlin gets back, and he feels in the right mindset to be able to play, obviously, the better for the Sabres. Like, that's, you know, easy to say. Now, for power, yes, he's going to have to step up. There's going to be more ice time for him. There's going to be more ice time for Byram. When Dahlin was hurt last year, Byram played a ton of minutes. I would expect that to go up. I think Kesselring, in the games that we've seen from him play so far since he's been back from injury, I've been very happy with seeing what he's been doing. He should have scored against his former team. Mm-hmm. A beautiful setup from Byram, a bang-bang play at the net. And, of course, Hofer ended up, again, finding a way to make a save there, incredibly. But, yeah, I agree with you. I'm happy with the other 5D that are going to be there. I assume Jacob Bryson will be the guy now coming in to play that sixth role. I don't expect him to get a ton of ice time, but we'll see some of these other guys like Byram and Power probably really increase their ice time. And with Lyon, with how he's been playing, if he continues to play the bulk of the games, I still think, even if we just talk defense, not offense, if we just talk defense, the group that they have right now, even without Dahlin, with Lyon and net, I feel confident that the Sabres can go into any game with the, quote, chance to win. They just got to get it done on the other side.
Brian, just looking at Alex Tuch, you mentioned him earlier and, you know, wanting a contract and what Thompson was thinking kind of in the middle of it all. But just from Tuck's perspective here, what do you think they're going to do with him contractually? I feel like if he continues to play this way, do they try and make a trade with him involved to get a bit of a return? Do they let him walk in the offseason? Or do they sign him back? I feel like it's a hefty price they're going to be asking for someone who's playing the way he is currently. And I get it. He can bounce back at any point and, you know, put some good games together. But and then you see him on the ice with J.J. Paterka in the Utah game. I don't know if you saw that mic'd up clip or not, but saying how J.J. says they treat us so well here and everything like that. What do you think they do with Alex Tuch?
I'm surprised it wasn't done this offseason. When you have a player that's an all-star level player that has scored over 30 goals multiple times with the organization and saying that he wants to be here and he loves being here and, you know, dreamed as a kid of wearing a Sabre uniform, you figure out a way to make that work. They have the cap space to do it. The salary cap's only going to be going up every single year. And I also look at this way. Look at the rest of the roster. Who are guys that you would want to commit to long-term? Well, Dahlin. You got committed long-term. Power, committed long-term. If you know, whether you want to argue Power or not, he's already committed long-term. Byram just signed the 2-year deal. You really can't do anything with him for the foreseeable future. Samuelson is locked up long-term. All right? So right now, you're kind of locked in on D with your group there. Forward-wise, Thompson is signed long-term. Who else, forward-wise, do you really would want to commit long-term? You're not at Benson moment yet. You're not at Doan moment yet. I mean, some of these other nice role players, maybe McLeod comes into play, but there's nobody that you're going to be spending big time money on, in my opinion, unless they're coming from outside the organization. So I still think Alex Tuch is a huge asset to this organization. He's a leader in the room, on and off the ice. He wants to be here. Tell me how many players in this league that you think you're capable of scoring 30-plus goals that say, I want to play for the Buffalo Sabres. I'll wait.
That right. list
when,
is probably
when we
low.
Have dead air for the next hour.
Yeah, I'm not willing to get fined for that, so we can go ahead and stop that exercise.
Right. Well, the fact is, I mean, it's kind of sad to say, but even these players that are capable of putting up Tuch numbers, they have a no-trade clause. I don't want to come to Buffalo. Oh, would you like to sign here as a free agent? No, I'll take less money elsewhere because I know they have a chance to win more than the Sabres do. So, like, you have a player that, you know, on paper, all-star numbers-wise, he wants to be here. Like, I'm shocked that it's not done already. And, you know, the longer and longer that this pans out, it's tougher for Kevin Adams to deal from a strength position in terms of trade. You get all the way to the trade deadline, teams know now that you have to get rid of him because you're going to lose him in the offseason for nothing, which could be possibly maybe one of the worst moments in this drought if it gets that far, is if you go all the way to the end and Alex Tuch just signs as a free agent elsewhere. Like, please don't even let me imagine if it gets to that point there. Again, shocked that it wasn't done already. I think every game that this plays out, especially if the Sabres are not playing well, you're only enticing Alex Tuch to more and more decide, hey, maybe it is greener somewhere else. and even I could get the same amount of money somewhere else, I think he might try it. I'm stunned that it's not done already.
Well, we'll see how everything plays forward here, Brian. And what's up next for the Sabres with the depleted roster through injuries and now the leave of absence of Dahlin? And we're going to wrap it up on this, Brian. It's that they are going to a building they haven't won in since 2016 in Carolina. So let's see what happens there as you've got pregame tonight.
Yep, four daunting road games here. And the offense has been a struggle against a team that gives you almost no space to create offense and makes you pay when you make any mistakes. So they've got to be ready. And as you said, they're not going to a place where they have a very good track record.
We'll see what happens. I mean, hey, maybe that can tell you the season's different if they win in Carolina for the first time since 2016. We'll see what happens tonight, though, Brian, and we'll hear from you at 6 o'clock here for a pregame.
Okay, guys, thanks a lot. Have a great rest of your day.
You too. Brian Koziel there on the Wester Hotline. Sabres Hurricanes tonight, as mentioned. Pregame will start at 6 here on WGR. We'll come back. Little tiny segment, baby segment for you. Why? Because then we're going to talk to Todd Kalin at the bottom of the hour here to get ready for Niagara basketball, taking the airwaves right off the rip at 2 o'clock here on WGR.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. You know, one of the perks about having four kids that you know about is actually getting a direct line to the big man up north. Mm-hmm. And this year, he wants you to know the best gift that you can give someone is the gift of Mint Mobile's unlimited wireless for $15 a month. Now, you don't even need to wrap it. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Hour number three, rolling along here on Sports Talk Saturday. Derek Kramer, Joe Calley here with you as we just talked with Brian Koziel. We will talk with Todd Kalin, getting ready for some Niagara basketball. That's coming back in to the airwaves, and college hoops getting started again. I should probably text Zach Jones, see what the latest is going on with, like, San Jose State.
He would know. He's got it all. He's got all the college ball knowledge.
March Madness
coming back to Buffalo this year, too, at KeyBank Center.
That is actually a big deal.
So that'll be awesome. I'm excited for that. I'm definitely going to make it a point to get out there and go to that. But yeah, I feel like it's always a good time of year when the basketball starts. I mean, I'm still a sicko, and I do kind of enjoy the weather turning to snow and like all of that. I might be in the minority there, I know. But, you know, college basketball starting is a signet of that, if you will. So I'm 100% 100% ready for college basketball. And Niagara did lose their first the other night, but put up 63 points, lost 63-83 to Duquesne. So, or Duquesne, as some people say, even though it's very much not correct, Duquesne. But yeah, so we'll talk with Todd, preview the matchup against Binghamton today, and we'll go from there. Right here on these airwaves, starting at 2 o'clock. So.
Right here on these airwaves, very same. So, Joe, this is probably going to be my topic for the majority of tomorrow.
Okay.
Or at least one of the topics for tomorrow. And I do want to do a little bit of previewing of this. At this point, does it matter how they win? Considering the injuries that they've gathered up on defense, and you have a bad opponent, the style points would be nice. But considering what this team has been this year, considering what the rest of the AFC has been, considering that one of your biggest rivals is, actually two of your biggest rivals right now, in the current standings, they are out of the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Does it matter more? And do you have really an angry reaction if the Bills don't really go ahead and go out there and wow us with any style points? Like, yeah. If it's the last game against Miami, I don't like it being that close through the entirety. But if it's a 10-point win and it's kind of like one of those misnomer wins where like, okay, yeah, they were threatening for a little bit, but eventually they made that score a little bit nicer than it could have been. Is there a degree of play against Miami that will upset you tomorrow other than a loss?
Yeah. Sorry, I'm on the camp of if you don't look like a Super Bowl contender, I'm upset. And I get it. It's a week-to-week league. I understand that. But this team is built no matter who's on it. You build this team to go to the Super Bowl. If they beat Miami, a team with two wins on the season so far, if they struggle to beat them by more than 10 points, right? And if Miami plays a good game, that could be a different conversation. It's not necessarily the score on the board. It's how they look doing it, right?
Right.
If like the Chiefs, for example, right? That game was 28-21. That game felt dominated by the Bills, though, even though it was close to the scoreboard on the end. So I was totally happy with that game. Because everything was clicking. It was a very complimentary football game. If the Bills play like they did against Carolina, against the Dolphins, like really we don't see much from Allen. We don't see much outside of a couple things working. It's not really complimentary.
And yet it's a dominant
win. And yet it's a dominant win on the scoreboard. I'm still looking for more in every one of those. It's got to be complimentary football, all three phases clicking, going at the same time. That's when Bills football is at its best, Derek. Last season, look back to last season. I get it. It was different expectations, whatever. Last year, the Bills, it felt like every game, yeah, Allen's going to throw like crazy. He's going to put up 200 yards a game. James Cook's going to rush for 100. And Ray Davis and Ty Johnson, they're going to get in there too. Dalton Kincaid, Amari Cooper, Mac Hollins, like all those guys. Like the receiving room, it's everybody eats, but it actually was working. Khalil Shakir was having quite a season last year. This year, it hasn't felt like that more than once. Realistically, twice maybe. Like they haven't had a dominant win where all three phases were clicking. And I think that's how it has to be. If you want to be a serious championship contender, every aspect of your game has to be on the up and up. You know what I'm saying? So yes, they can win by 25 points against Miami. But if the passing offense doesn't go more than 5 yards up the field, except for yards after catch, yeah, then I'm going to have a problem with that. Because you can't beat a Super Bowl. You can't win a Super Bowl like that. I don't think you can.
I am wondering at this point, though, because of the fact that it is more or less just trying to keep up with the Joneses of the rest of the AFC. Because we've all seen them have flaws at this point. I mean, New England stubbed their toe in week one against the Raiders.
Right, right.
Like, the Bills lost to the Falcons, which is suddenly looking less and less impressive of a win for Atlanta because of the fact that they just took it and ruined it from there.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks more and more aggravating of a loss for the Bills.
Yeah.
I've seen, like, it's enough, though, where you look at enough teams and you see and go, man, everyone's got problems. Can you just have the least amount of problems? Like, Denver's 8-2, and I'm worried about like playing a team like that that has like
weird vibes to them, but they also are a team that screams fraudulent.
Very much so.
Pittsburgh's the same thing to me, where like they do have a very good defense, an incredible pass rush. I do think that game will be trickier than it might be on paper, but at the same time, they have a tendency for said defense to give up loads of points.
Right.
Despite being the highest paid defense in the National Football League.
Here's where I'm at with the entire thing. What did we say in the beginning? What is New England doing right now? Proving they're a good team. They're blowing out and destroying bad teams, right? If you're a good team and a Super Bowl contender, you should blow out Miami in all three phases of the game.
And yet, New England fans can still turn to, can you win in January? We can't run the football.
Yeah.
So, there's still something there. Mm-hmm. Even when they're blowing teams out, there's a major flaw. So if the Bills aren't throwing 5 yards down the line of past the line of scrimmage, and it's still the short game, the quick game, the yards after catch, everything like that, and they win by 25, I'm not really going to have much of an appetite to care, because you're winning by 25 at that point. You are putting a team down. You are dominating a bad club. More or less for me, I think my anger will be saved for if you lose to Miami.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to lose. I really don't. I don't see how you can, realistically. I just look at this as, you know, I understand what you're saying. I truly do. I look at it as we've had that attitude for 5 years. And
I don't know. Last year was not that.
But I'm saying a win's a win. That's been the whole thing. And that was a quote last year from Josh Allen. A win's a win. The messy wins, whatever. Like I've been so on board with taking those. It's just to the point of I'm sick of calling a messy win just a win. At this point, your goal is a Super Bowl. I don't think you're going to get there if that's your mantra, right? I really don't. I think you need to think you're better than everybody else and play that way. And they haven't in every game this season. And that's a big reason the trade deadline got so interesting there, was because of the Carolina game. They won by 31 points, but look at how they looked doing it. Not phenomenal in every aspect of the game.
Well, I would say that the defense looked phenomenal.
Right. That aspect looked great. So, the passing offense looked terrible. So, like, that's the call for the wide receiver.
One degree.
Right.
And that's one degree.
If you want to win a Super Bowl, all three need to be clicking. I'm sorry. They do.
But if we're going to sing praise about New England and they have a very clear problem about something, you can't do the same thing with the Bills. It seems hypocritical. That's the thing to me. If we're going to sing New England's praises for being 7-2 without being able to run the football at all, and then you look at the Bills, who are sitting there right behind them, and it's that they don't throw the football down the field. They still move the football. They still have a decent passing offense. It's just that they're not moving the football down the field.
So
if you could do it with one and you can't do it with the other, I think it's a – I don't want to call it a flawed argument, but there's definitely something not connecting there.
The Bills have 1,292 rushing yards, first in the NFL, right? The team stats for New England rushing yards, 1,011. They're only 200 yards off. It's not like they're not rushing the ball. They average 112 rushing yards per game. Stevenson has 801 of them. And yeah, he's out. So now you're going to have a problem. But it's not like they weren't running the ball. Like they were able to do it when they had to.
Do know that New England has also played one more whole game than Buffalo.
I know that.
Be behind by 200 while also playing one more game tells you that gap is far bigger than it needs to be.
Well, sure. I'm just saying, let's not act like New England can't run the ball, because they have been able to this season.
All right.
They're 17th. They're in the middle of the pack, pretty much.
Unfortunately, we got to put this one on pause. I will bring this conversation up more tomorrow on pregame. But first, we got to go to Todd Callen on the other side of this break. Preview Niagara basketball, as that will be starting against Binghamton right after this show at 2 o'clock here on WGR.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
In communities across the country,
hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is a reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. You know, one of the perks about having four kids that you know about is actually getting a direct line to the big man up north. Mm-hmm. And this year, he wants you to know the best gift that you can give someone is the gift of Mint Mobile's unlimited wireless for $15 a month. Now, you don't even need to wrap it. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Ah, it's about that time again, wouldn't you say? College basketball, and therefore Big Four basketball. And one of those teams that we do make sure we've got to talk about here is the Niagara Purple Eagles. And there's no way for me to do that without having Todd Callen on here to preview what's going on here. Todd, it's been a minute. Welcome back.
Thank you. Good to be here, fellas, on a Saturday afternoon. This is one of the best times of the year, the beginning of the college basketball season. I love the intro. Binghamton countering with their own little pep band across from us. So we are in Binghamton taking on the Bearcats, Niagara 0-1. After dropping the game on Monday night, I heard you guys having fun with the pronunciation of Duquesne. No, I know it's Duquesne.
That would be violent. If that is a team's pronunciation, like, I don't know. Maybe never invite them to a tournament if that was the pronunciation.
Yeah, Duquesne got us. They got us on Monday night. It was a rough start for the Purple Eagles. They came out of the gates 9-0 early. We were down a bunch at halftime. Niagara outscored Duquesne 43-42 in the second half. They're looking to build on that here tonight against what would be a comparable foe. It was stepping up in weight class, taking on Duquesne on Monday night. This is a comparable foe in the Bearcats.
And now looking at it, though, last year they do win against Binghamton. This year it's a different roster. It's a different group here. Todd, what's the roster makeup look like this year for Niagara Purple Eagles basketball here?
Yeah, the landscape is like this everywhere pretty much. 9 new guys this season. So 4 returners, 2 that played a lot. Will Short played a lot. Justin Page played a ton. Landon Williams was out all year with an ACL. He is back. And A.J. McBride, just a couple of minutes spot duty. So 13 fellas on the team. 4 that know how Coach Paulus' sentences are going to end, but 9 brand-new players, and that is the uniqueness of the beginning of the season. They really came together, though, in that second half on Monday night, so we will see if it can translate to a full 40 minutes here tonight. Another thing with so much change on rosters, there were a lot of players on Monday night. That was their first D1 competition. So what a step up when you're coming from D2 or a junior college. And they took one right in the jaw at the beginning of the game on Monday night, but they stood strong and they came back in the second half.
And Todd, when it comes to these new players, who are the guys that you probably want to focus on here as we have a little bit more than a minute before we have to hand things off to you on the other side of a break?
Yeah, thanks very much. I'm going to start with Reggie Prudhomme. Reggie Prudhomme is a grad student. He's from Missouri City, Texas. He's slightly built. He's 6 feet. A grad student, played at D2 Cameron most recently. 16 points on Monday, but 14 in the second half. Really kind of took charge of the game, and when Niagara was shooting blanks in the first half, they really got their legs underneath them in half number 2, and I think Reggie led the way. Justin Page also in the second half. Now, Justin Page played for the Purple Eagles a season ago, the junior from Peoria. He had 14 points all in the second half. Here's a note that was interesting from the game. Justin Page, very aggressive. The Purple Eagles drew 26 fouls on Monday night. Page at 6 of 7 free throws. Last year, for the entire season, Justin Page made 5 free throws out of 12 attempts. Monday night, 6 for 7. So if we can get to the line, this team can make their free throws, add it all up at the end, and see how they do. But certainly looking forward to it here on a pretty nice day here in Binghamton.
Todd, we'll let you go. Get ready to get things started here in just a couple minutes.
Excellent. Thanks for the time, fellas.
Of course, that's Todd Callen there on the Western Hotline. And for Todd Callen, for Brian Koziel, for my co-host Joe Callie, for Evan DePasquale on the board, I am Derek Kramer. This has been another edition of Sports Talk Saturday. Thank you to anyone that has called in. Thank you to everyone that listens. Any chance you get, we cherish all of you. I'm going to go pound some DayQuil.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Looking for a new way to grow your business? With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising on TikTok, now's the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/tiktokads, and grow your business fast.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.